Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, that's really bad. 145-101. The Raptors lose to the New York Knicks. A good team, but a 44-point deficit. A record loss. A record loss. They've never lost by this much at home before. 44 points. They lose to the Knicks on a night that, you know, Darko summed it up pretty well by saying, like, it's hard to guard someone else when they're twice your size. And the Knicks are a big team. They're bullies, man. I love bully teams. The Raptors have had teams where they were bullies before. And, you know, it's why Bill Simmons always thought DeMar DeRozan was, like, an incredible player. Because DeMar would come into Boston. He'd see, like, Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley. And he'd just cook them. He's way bigger. You can't do anything about it. And the Raptors, they're a small team. And this isn't like a design flaw. We can get into the critiques of the team building, all this kind of stuff. Of course you can. But this is a team that is just completely undone by injuries right now. And even more so in this game. You know, Ochai goes flying in for, you know, Kelly tries to throw that hit ahead to him. He collides with Deuce McBride in air. He lands on his hip. He leaves with a hip contusion. X-rays are negative, as far as I know. So nothing bad as of right now, but nothing good. He was on the ground for like two full minutes. He didn't leave under his own power. Put no pressure on his right leg. No weight. He looked bad. He looked really bad. But things can hurt really bad, and the outcome can be just like rest for a little while, and there's nothing structural. That's the hope, I suppose. You know, Gary has like an efficient little game. Grady goes for 23 points on, you know, 18 shots. He's a minus 26, no assists. He's just going out there and gunning, man. He comes out of the corner and Gary hands him the ball and he just pulls from 26 feet. He cans it. That's incredible. That's a great shot. Now, is that something he can do all the time? No. Is that something we will see in a playoff run in the future? Yeah. We're going to see something like that. He's got the goods. Coco says that fall looks so painful. It certainly did. Keir Doyle says, I understand there are exceedingly few NBA caliber players actually on the court right now, but this is morose. It is morose, man. And MJ Barrow says, I was waiting for you, Samson. Thanks for doing this. I watched the Raptors religiously, and part of the ritual is watching you after the game. Thanks for the effort. I'm just glad to provide it. You know, this is a communal thing. It's ritual for me as well. So we're all coming here after a game, and I appreciate you tapping in. Because as much as it is my job, if there were zero people on a live, and I was talking to nobody, that's a tough job. That's not an easy one. I know lots of people do it. They just like put their head down and talk, but geez, that would be something. So I really appreciate the people who come watch and listen and everything like that. And of course, appreciate all the people who tune in on like the podcast apps and all, wherever the podcast disseminates to, whatever it ends up being. You know, Garrett Temple came in, put his body on the floor multiple times in this game, cashed some triples. He was hustling and bustling. But this game, man, it can be identified through like, hey, Gary had some nice cuts off ball and made shots at the rim. Javon, similar to last game, also able to kind of break down defenses with a little bit of driving pop. That was cool to see. Kelly, top down playmaking. They're working out of the delay sets. They're working out of the high post. They're running tons of dribble handoff, tons of split action. They are, as a team, a G League with a lot of G League talent. They're just trying to like grind their way to points. There, it's a walk uphill both ways. It's just, there's no easy answers. And so at least we had like a lot of good Grady cutting, Grady gunning, a little bit of ball handling as well. Really aggressive coming off of the curls too. Really aggressive coming off of DHOs. Came off of a stagger, put the ball down, gets the mid-range cashers immediately. Like, there's a lot of good stuff happening here. That's what you take away from this game. Is it meaningful for the Raptors in the decisions they may or may not make on Javon Freeman Liberty that he went 5-for-9? No, probably not. And good for Javon. Like, it's good for Javon. I hope that, like, the more of a resume he builds up at the NBA, the more it allows him to kind of like stretch his legs and work for an opportunity. I see all of that. That's good. Garrett having a game, kind of a throwback, is fun and good. You know, Gary goes 6-for-11, but it was a game of not much consequence. He did pass the ball decently well in this game, though. You know, some of those like empty side two-man actions, just moving the ball on, there was stuff there. But Grady is the big thing here, because Grady, you know, is a part of the team going forward. You know that every step he takes forward is meaningful. To this point, Keir Doyle says, how much future info do you feel you're gaining right now? Feels like it's so far below that level that it's almost not applicable. I think that that is partially what it is. It's hard to watch this game. And I watch it with the eye of what an analyst. Almost couldn't say that word, good lord, with an analysis type eye. And you watch these games, you watch these guys get bludgeoned, and you wonder, like, what am I taking away from this? Okay, so Garrett Temple and Grady Dick mistimed how they were guarding Jalen Brunson as kind of like a tandem. And Javon Freeman Liberty filtered out of the paint when he should have been in help side and should have hung around to force the skip pass. Like, we can say that stuff. Does that impact the future when they're a team that's not losing 12 games in a row? Maybe not. You know, Grady will improve. He has to. He's a young guy. He's a teenager not too long ago. He's going to get better at defense. He works on defense. I watch him work on defense. Footwork, timing, reads, he works on it all. It'll get better. He's big. He'll fill out the body. That'll get better too. The offense is coming around, some good decision making. He is a very talented shooter. He's one of the best shooters to come out of the draft, not just this year, but over the past handful of years. That's what we're seeing. He's gunning. He's getting downhill with a dribble and via cut. He's supplementing his game with different offensive looks, and he's a pretty reliable finisher at the rim. Soft touch, can take contact, extend outside of his body, and make the roll. All this kind of stuff is good. But it's mostly housed around Grady. And there's just not a lot to watch. I really commend the people who are in here watching me discuss it. Thank you. I commend the people who watch the games. The Raptors should be getting on TV after every game, grabbing the mic and saying, thank you for watching us. Because we get shellacked night after night. You know, MJ Barrow says, while the season is a flop, is kind of good for the deep bench guys to get reps and experience. And with all the bad things happening outside of the court, it is kind of good that the team is bad. Gives time to RJ to grieve, to Scotty to heal, to Darko to learn, etc. Yeah, Scotty's not going to be rushed back into anything. I really don't think so. Neither is RJ. Neither is Quickly. Nothing is pressing over here. Nothing. So, you know, that's where we're at. And Kirdol says, nah, bro, here's a 10% raise on your season tickets. As things. Yeah, I think it was 12%, right? Isn't that absurd? And that was what, when I was on the Raptor show, which if anybody is around TV from 11 to 12 a.m. on Friday, I'll be on the Raptor show this week with Blake and S. But Will had asked me, like, well, do you think the Raptors should raise tickets? And I was like, are you serious? They should, like, lower ticket prices. What an easy answer for me. lower the prices. The team sucks, man. And maybe they don't suck as much last year, but like recompense or something, you know? It's a bad product. And that's not any shade to these guys. Asking these guys to be like, hey, you're G League adjacent, end of bench guys. They know this. They want to like to work on their games to get better, but they know where they are now in the league. And this is what we're seeing game after game, and they have to go compete against like good teams. And the Raptors are saying like, they still have to play the games. It's on the schedule. This is all scheduled out. This is all agreed upon. Tickets have to be sold. I mean, a little grace, a little thanks from the franchise would be, I mean, it would be meaningful. Is that going to happen, though? Absolutely not. I mean, that's what it is, right? What do we see in any industry? What do we see everywhere? It's profit motive. You know, people want exponential growth exponentially. I don't know what happened to the idea of like running a successful business and not needing to expand it like immensely. And I know the NBA is certainly not going to be the point where this is made, but you know, you don't need exponential growth. At some point you hit the money making that is required to just like, hey, this is the regular end to this business. And then everybody's like, well, what if our business did something else? What if we require X or Y and all this kind of, it's like, and then, you know, the NBA is like, how much extra money could we make as we're obscenely rich? If we put live odds on League Pass, which is already like a terrible product, what if we turn it into a casino? What the hell are you guys doing? What are we watching? What is this? God. And like, again, I get it. I said this last podcast. I know what's up there. I get it. But Jesus, man. Lord. Yeah, the team is not very good right now. And credit to some of the performances that we saw tonight. And really, credit to Precious. Credit to OG. Credit, I don't know. Like, Precious had a fun game, a good game. We saw some classic Precious stuff. Like, the ball settles. He sees, you know, a pinhole that he's like, a 6'9" man can fit through that pinhole. It's like, you know, anybody watch Community? You know when they're stuck in the RV and Jeff says, who's feeling skinny? Because somebody has to like crawl through a vent. And Troy says, and puts his hand up, and so does Annie. And like, obviously it's Annie, she's small. But Troy has that boyish wonder that he wants to fit through the hole. Precious wants to fit through the hole. He has the boyish, like, I have the imagination to make this drive work. And the drives don't work. And it didn't. And so he turned the ball over. Or no, he didn't. He got slapped out of bounds. Restarted the possession. And he had another one where he kind of flattened out on the baseline, tried to make a turnaround jumper, and he airballed. But he also completely dominated the Raptors and was a big reason why the Raptors, you know, he's a plus 18, comes off the bench, 19-12, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. He's awesome. I've been a huge fan of Precious. I love his game. There's stuff to clean up, of course. Darko said as much. You know, he said when he keeps it simple, he's a really good player. That is what coaches have typically said of Precious over time. We all understand, you know, what the subtext here. Don't try to do so much, Precious. That's like what a lot of people are saying. But he was a blast, and he's part of the reason why the Raptors very obviously lost by 44 points. He helped keep the pressure on towards the end. Of the bench guys, like, nobody else cleared 16 and a half minutes, but Precious was, you know, almost 28. You know, Kier Doyle says he's got the revenge game gene too. Was always good versus the Heat. Yeah, he had the 22 rebound game against the Heat, which also meant that Nick Nurse then would reference that game all year and say, well, if Precious, you know, let's see him kind of like how he was in that Heat game. He just lobbed this, like, he'd levy this 22 rebound game against Precious and be like, if you're not doing this, it's hard for me to find minutes for you, which is kind of funny, you know? Kier Doyle says, very curious what his next deal looks like. Yeah, me too. I have no idea. Because you could talk yourself into him having quite a ceiling, but again, not a very high established floor. Coco says, did you tell Precious we love him? Yeah, of course. Precious was getting love from everybody. He and OG both seemed to really enjoy the tribute videos that they got. They both made me smile. They're both really funny guys, honestly. And I said this before, but as far as like the rapport and like enjoying the conversations, enjoying the back and forth, OG and Precious were the two guys on the team who I thought I had the best with. And so when they both got traded at the same time, I was like, damn. First of all, damn. And then secondly, like, yeah, they're really likable men. These guys rock. And they got the warm ovation that they deserved once they came back around. But man, the Raptors got beat so bad in this game. Jalen Brunson got into the middle of the defense in the first half, completely undid them, especially in the first quarter. I mean, what? Deuce McBride hit, what, 5 or 6 threes in the first quarter? He finished with 9, by the way. Deuce McBride canned 9 triples. Miles McBride, for anybody. That's his nickname if you're trying to look him up for fantasy basketball or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. He shot the hell out of the basketball and has been doing so for a few games prior to this. He's been on a really hot run. I mean, you look at it, right? Like, the Knicks backcourt, 26-7 and 29-7, a plus 27 and a plus 40. They have one turnover between the two of them. Brunson didn't turn the ball over once. The Raptors, they showed help. And get ready, everybody. It's the drop. Feckless. Feckless helps side defense. And I find it hard to blame them. Now, I can blame them for 44 points. I can't blame them for a loss. You can't look at the team or the roster and see like who they're playing night to night and be like, why can't this team win? We know why they can't win. Let's not be coy. It's not a very talented team right now. In fact, it's one of the least talented teams in the NBA game to game. They're going to lose more games. It's going to be tough. We're going to have to stick together. We're going to have to do our very best to remain positive. Or, you know, some people, their best bag and something that other people enjoy is being negative. For those who enjoy that aspect, find your best negative person who really gets angry and commiserate. It's important to feel how we want to feel. My God, though, man. These games are tough, you know? Everybody in here, I imagine they watched it. I watched it. I was there. I talked to some of the guys after. It's like, it's tough, man. It's tough. I'm training for a marathon, and I have to run like an ungodly amount every day. I hate running, but I want to say when I'm on my deathbed, I want to say I did a marathon. I have no idea why, but that's fueling me. These Raptors games are better than marathon training, but not much better. And they should be much, much better. These are bad games. Bad product. Bad basketball. Raptors, looking at you. Lower the ticket prices. It would behoove you to pay these fans back for the goodwill they've shown you for so long. Ugh. Coco says you have good rapport with Grady, it seems. That's just me trying too hard. I want to get that good rapport. I want it. And Grady's a really nice young man, so he indulges me a little bit when I'm being like, just want to have fun in the press conference talks or whatever. There's work to be done. God, there's so much work to be done. It is so hard. They're like, media has so little access now relative to where it was, you know? And you can hear, there was somebody wrote like this big piece on Caitlin Clark about how Caitlin Clark didn't have a single one-on-one with the University of Iowa newspaper. It was like, what? Or it's like, really? Not a single one-on-one all year? And it really is like handlers, agents, PR, all that kind of stuff. There's so many walls. And it feels odd because you're like, the conversation I have with players is like, everyone's just standing here. Just approach somebody and talk. But there's so many barriers that everyone's walking through because everyone's focused on like their brand. And I understand your brand equals your money, equals like your perception. So everyone's very protective of everything. And it makes like everything, like you got jumped through hoops, man. It's just how it is. I wonder if it ever goes back. Like from the player's point of view, I understand why. because they're like, they see a schmuck like me. I'm like, I'm ready to be such a nerd. I'm going to ask you like the nerdiest little question you ever heard, and they're not going to care. It's like, A, that's boring for them. They talk basketball all the time. B, everything they say is like hyper-analyzed and through a negative lens because there's always freaks who are going to do that. And, you know, it's like, what is the upside? It's that's what it is. I understand players, they can communicate to fans now through social media. They don't have to. What do they need media for? I will, however, continue to do the work. Because you know what? Players will talk to you, but they aren't going to break down their own game film. Unless they're Scotty Barnes. He's also coming for my job. And he's much more popular. Brian Lau says, I think Grady cuts more versus denial is the only highlight. Yeah. I was sitting baseline and just watching him. I didn't catch him this time. But last game, I was just sitting baseline watching him run through that with Simovic and... can't remember the trainer's name. But anyway, they're just going through the deny, shoot it back, deny, shoot it back. Different reads to make versus deny, shoot it back, back cut, back up, back up. And he works on so much of that stuff coming out of the corner. And it makes sense because for the foreseeable future, the Raptors are going to run so much offense out of the corner. And Grady is going to be a linchpin in the offense going forward. He's going to be a very important guy. And so he runs those reads so often. And he hits them in real time during the game, which is great. That feels like a podcast mostly, everybody. That's where I'm at. Like the video if you so choose. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel if you'd like. All that stuff helps support myself and the team and everything like that. And if you have the means and you feel so inclined, you can go to raptorsbubble.com and subscribe over there. It's how we keep the website alive, quite frankly. And anything else? No, I don't think so. Yeah, Raptors show on Friday. And I'll be back here. I don't know. There's another game. I can't remember. Is the next game is Sunday, maybe? Dagum. Got a little bit of time. Everyone chill it out. Relax a little bit. Go for a walk. Enjoy... I guess the day is coming, like the forecast doesn't seem that great. Regardless, goodbye, everybody. It's been the pleasure, of course. All right, whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.